Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The opportunity to acquire a player of Matthew Stafford's caliber.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, LA! Welcome to LA, Matthew Stafford.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And down goes Rodgers. Sacked by Davenport.
It's just one game. We've got 16 to go.
Today's guests from NBC Sports, Peter King, Arizona Cardinals head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, plus your phone calls, Monday Night Football preview, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two, Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I love the NFL season. Oh, God, I just love it.
We're back.
We just prattled on for a whole hour talking about football, National Football League. Didn't even touch on College Weekend, which we will. And we didn't even touch on everything we could in the NFL either. No. Overreaction Monday coming up this hour. Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, coming up in hour number three, fresh off that big win in Tennessee to kick things off. Every team in the NFC West is undefeated. Every single team in the NFC North is winless. How about that? How about them apples for a week one headline? Oh, and the Houston Texans are one game clear of the rest of everybody else. They were the only AFC South team to win yesterday. Go figure.
Just like we all predicted.
That. Unbelievable. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. We'll take your phone calls this hour as well. If you're on hold, stay on hold because we've got ourselves one of the best of the best joining us here after penning another terrific Football Morning in America column that can be seen on all of NBC Sports platforms, including Pro Football Talk, is Peter King. How are you, PK?
Rich Eisen, how are you?
I'm doing better for talking to you. That was so much fun yesterday.
It was fantastic. It was a great day. And, you know, the reason why we're all sort of addicted to these 16, 18 weeks, whatever it is, however long you watch, the reason we're all addicted is that every week, something really, really interesting happens. And so I'm sitting there yesterday. I've got to try to figure out what is the most interesting thing most weeks in the NFL to write about. And so I looked at the Green Bay-New Orleans game. You know, I looked at every game, but I looked at the Green Bay-New Orleans game, and I just thought to myself, you know, it's amazing and ridiculous that the Packers lost 38-3, and that's a fascinating topic to go into. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't long ago that we left Jameis Winston for dead laying on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And look what Jameis Winston has done right now. And, again, no one knows if this is an outlier. No one knows. You just have to let it play out. But he couldn't have had a better first day in his new partnership with Sean Payton. And I thought that really the most interesting thing that I learned about the NFL this weekend is when I asked Jameis Winston, what is the play about this game that you'll remember? What's your favorite play of this game?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me my favorite play was a ball that I threw away late in the first quarter.
Love it.
And because it says so much about where he was and where he is now, that it's a good play sometimes to throw it in the first row of the bleachers.
You know, and it when you hear that, you think to yourself, well, that must be drummed into his head quite a bit by, you know, every coach that's in his ear from Sean Payton on down. And it's also got to be just a maturation process that comes with watching last year and going through whatever he went through in Tampa and you know, him speaking. We played the soundbite earlier in the first hour, Peter, of him talking about how this is for the city of New Orleans and, you know, taking on the mantle of leadership. It's just great to see. Just terrific to see.
And look, and the other thing he told me yesterday is that, first of all, you know, he was in middle school when the Breeze-Peyton marriage began and in New Orleans, and he grew up in Alabama, so they got the Saints games on Sunday. And he started to watch it, and he said, that's when I started to say, man, what a dream it'd be to be in that offense. It's so quarterback-friendly. And so yesterday, before the game, there was something he really wanted to say to Sean Payton that he's been thinking about ever since he signed with the Saints a year and a half ago, that, you know, this is like a dream for me to be the quarterback of this team. And so that, plus the fact that when you're around a guy like Drew Brees, who focuses on process and not on the scoreboard. I mean, look, everybody in life has to be scoreboard oriented. I get it. But Brees always used to say, both to Winston, to Taysom Hill, you know, to all the guys who have been quarterbacks in his room over the years, forget the score, forget the scoreboard. Just make every play as perfect as you can. Focus on the process of being a great player. And so that's really what has happened now with Jameis Winston, that, you know, every play, he wants to win every play. And if you throw an interception or a pick six, I mean, his last play in Tampa Bay Bucs history was a pick six against the Atlanta Falcons in the final game of 2019 that Bruce Arians, after the game and thought about it, he said, well, you know, if we don't have any other alternatives, we'll bring him back. But we're not going to bring a guy back who is so careless with the ball. And so last year, just sitting there watching, was great for Jameis Winston.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. And Peter, it really is amazing how things play out in the NFL. It's a week-to-week league, as I know, but we're just obviously looking at the snapshot of week one. If I had told you late May, early June, deep in the abyss of Rodgers is never playing another snap for the Packers again, deep in that abyss, that not only would Rodgers play for the Packers in week one, but the result would be so dreadful that Jordan Love would get in the game and actually get his first snaps as a Green Bay Packer quarterback because of the complete lack of everything that Rodgers and the Packers were able to do. I mean, what a mind-blowing week one result for Green Bay. What's your takeaway from that?
Well, I think right now week two becomes really, really important for this team. And I think they'll play well. There's no reason to suggest that this is going to be a continuum at all. And I just don't believe it will be. I believe the Packers will come back, play very well, will be fine, and Rodgers will be great again this year. The only thing that bothered me about that game yesterday, from the Green Bay standpoint, is that I never saw one piece of evidence in 3 hours and 15 minutes of any Packers being really pissed off and basically grabbing the game by the throat and say, we're not going down this way. They just took it. And, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers is not one of these demonstrative leaders. You know, he's more of a leader by example. And a quiet leader with guys in the huddle. He'll talk to them, but he doesn't ream people out and all that stuff. I mean, to me, I really think that, I mean, I noticed that a lot yesterday, and I said, somebody had better, you know, spend some time this week saying that this is never going to happen again. It can't just be left unspoken. And so that is the only thing about yesterday that really worries me, almost how flippant the Packers were about getting their rear ends kicked like an Aaron Rodgers team has never gotten beat in 14 years as a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. The week one result for the Browns, what do you think about that? Because they got, you know, they got Mahomes'd. A lot of teams have gotten Mahomes'd, but that's the second time where they could have actually out Mahomes'd.
The difference this time, Rich, is that this time it wasn't, they didn't have the benefit of a Chad Henne half of football to basically stay in the game and to have a chance to win late. This time they were going toe-to-toe and they were even beating Mahomes, obviously. And, Rich, I think they would have won this game, or there's a very good chance they would have won this game without one of the most incomprehensible plays any of us has seen, and that is a punter dropping a ball that is right in his hands and seeming to just do a total absolute choke job that handed the Kansas City Chiefs the winning points of the game. Handed the Chiefs, what, an 11-yard field to score a touchdown to win the game? And again, you can definitely blame Baker Mayfield for trying to do too much on the interception he threw to Mike Hughes, on the last drive. You can blame him, and maybe you should blame him, but he was in the process of throwing when Daniel Sorensen came up behind him and was tackling him. And so it's hard for me to blame Mayfield on that play. But clearly, you know, the Browns should grow from that, and the Browns are a really good team. I still don't know if they're a Super Bowl team, and that game yesterday was a discouraging game, I would think, for those who think that, you know, the Browns are ready to bash the door down.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show after the first Sunday of 2021, and tonight on Monday Night Football's radio coverage that I'll be hosting on Westwood One between the Vegas Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. Peter King will be joining me on halftime of that broadcast right here on the Rich Eisen Show. At the moment, though, I was at the opener last night here at SoFi, Peter.
How'd you like it, Rich?
Unbelievable. And I was mentioning that it may be the first time the Los Angeles Rams, the L.A. Rams, have ever had a home field advantage quite like that. It was loud.
Yeah.
It was like a rock concert. I got home an hour later. It was still ringing in my ears. And it's just the general sense of whatever the team must have felt when, you know, Stafford showed up and did what he did last night, 20 of 26, 321 yards, 3 touchdowns. J.B. Long, who calls the games local here, tweeted out that with TD passes of 67 and 56 yards in his Rams debut, that's the first time Stafford has multiple touchdown passes of 55 or more yards in a game for the first time in his career. He gets the game ball. It's a beautiful new stadium for the team. Fans are going crazy. I'd be on the lookout if I'm the rest of the NFL, if not just strolling in that building, which is what Tom Brady's going to do in a couple of weeks. But just the way the team must be feeling right now, I'm wondering what you could tell me, anything from your insider position of what you've heard or what you've talked about leading up to this or after last night about this.
Well, Rich, I spent some time in training camp with Sean McVay, and much less time with Stafford and Aaron Donald. But here's what I thought coming out of that camp, okay, that Sean McVay has an encyclopedia in his brain of plays he wants to run. And I believe that if there were 26 volumes in the World Book Encyclopedia when we were kids, and they would be on our shelves, and we would take out the L and look at whatever we wanted to look up for research in the L's, that in my opinion, I think that when Jared Goff was the quarterback of the Rams, that Sean McVay did not feel comfortable using every volume in his encyclopedia. And I think now he looks at Matthew Stafford as really kind of a complete player. Not that Goff was not going to get to that point, but Goff was more of a student and Stafford is more of a peer. And I think that is why, I mean, honestly, Rich, that's really the reason why I picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl. Mm. I think that is, you know, and look, they don't have the margin for injury like teams like Tampa Bay do, okay? But I do believe that they're going to have a really great chance as long as they can open up every week and call, you know, almost any play that McVay desires. And the one thing that really stuck out to me, Rich, is, look, 8.5 yards is usually right around the best yards per attempt in the NFL every year, maybe up to 9 yards, okay? But yesterday in his debut, Stafford's yards per attempt was 12.5. And what that says is he's not only being accurate and you know, making almost every pass count, but he's also hitting plays downfield. And that is what Sean McVay desperately has wanted in his offense, an efficient, quick strike downfield thrower. And now he's got one. So, you know, we'll see how far they go.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more minutes left. All right, Peter, I'll just open it up to you and what you found out last night. What was your favorite quote that you got from Sunday's coverage? Give me that one. Which one did you like, talking to somebody or you heard or you read? Anything like that?
You know, probably, I would say probably the one that, you know, when I'm asking Jameis Winston about his favorite play, and he says, it's the ball he's going to throw out of bounds. And he said to me, he goes, listen, I was going to throw that ball so far over his head that even Shaq couldn't intercept it. And
I love it.
And so that to me, it just says that, you know, hey, throw it away and live for another day. The one other one, Rich, about yesterday that I thought was really cool,
uh-huh.
I was talking to Tyrod Taylor after the game. And, hey, look, hats off to Tyrod Taylor. What a guy. What a performance. I mean, everything that guy has been through, I've got great admiration for him. But I asked Tyrod Taylor about the national anthem, because I don't know about you, Rich, but I was blown away by that girl who was 6 years old when her dad was on the 102nd floor of the World Trade Center, and he was just working a regular day in the United States of America, and he, like 2,700 others in those buildings, never came home. And she is now 26, has the voice of an angel, and had it together to be able to sing the national anthem right by her dad's inscribed name at the memorial at 9/11 in Lower Manhattan. And Tyrod Taylor told me, he said, man, that was really, really emotional to see that. He said the whole stadium was emotional. Those are the two things from yesterday that I remember.
Peter, I'll talk to you later. I look forward to it. Thanks again for this, Peter. Terrific.
Sounds great, Rich. All the best.
You're the man. That's Peter King at Peter_King on Twitter. Must follow as his Football Morning in America column. Always a must read. Yeah, that moment of unity before all the early games yesterday was just quite moving, to say the least. Quite moving. And I would just, if you know, I talked about it on the previous show. I did an essay for the NFL 360 show that aired Friday night on my thoughts about the 20th anniversary of 9/11. It's on our on my Twitter feed at Rich Eisen. I'll just repost it again in the commercial break. If anybody missed it, please look at it. You know, they asked me at NFL Network. Actually, when I was doing Tokyo Gold, I got a call from Mike Muriano, who's now with Amazon. And Muir asked me, do I want to do a feature for the show? Would I do it? He knows I'm from New York. He's a Jersey guy. And I said, sure. And it took me a while to get around to it because it's just so tough to think about. And Zan was going through his bar mitzvah, you know, and I'm like, I want to focus on the good. And then I finally sat down and got a chance to just let what was going on in my mind and my heart about what's going on in the world today, 20 years after 9/11. And I kind of all spilled out on the keyboard. So I'll retweet it during the commercial break, and hopefully you'll go and look for it and share it with your friends and think about it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We talked quite a bit about the Packers loss. Later on in the show, I'll tell you my 2 cents on the Packers loss. But it's not the worst loss of week one, in my estimation. I'll tell you what is. That's next. And your calls. And Overreaction Monday on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
It took me, when I moved to Los Angeles back in 2003, it took me a while to realize that whenever I was working indoors, this was at NFL Network, I was working indoors, and it took me at least 2, 3, 4 weeks to stop lamenting, man, I'm indoors when it's so beautiful outside, because it's usually very beautiful outside. Have you gone through that process so far, Matthew?
Well, luckily
Stafford?
For me, my job is outside.
Ah, that's true.
So I get to enjoy it, but I am enjoying it for sure. That's I pinch myself waking up and seeing the sun up every day, and about 70, 75 degrees. It's pretty nice.
It sure is. So far, what have you been doing so far to get yourself acclimated football-wise? Walk me through that process for you, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, I think I've just been trying to catch up as much as I can. You know, I'm in a little bit of a unique position in the fact that everybody here has pretty much been running some version of this offense for the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, they're definitely ahead of the game when it comes to the mental aspect, when, you know, as far as where I'm at. So I'm just trying to catch up, do everything I can there. And then last week we kind of started doing some on-field stuff in a little bit of a limited capacity, but it was good to get out there and meet the guys and kind of start working with them, throwing with them, and doing all that kind of stuff. So it's picking back up, but yeah, it's definitely a process for me and something that is a big challenge on the mental aspect, but I will you know, do my part to make sure I'm ready to go.
And what about McVay? He talks very fast. Matthew,
he does. He's a smart guy. He's got a lot to say.
I know that. I guess you have to pick up his cadence as well, too, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. There's communication. You know, obviously he's giving me the plays through the headset. We're talking constantly out at practice, and, you know, in the meetings and all that kind of stuff, just trying to, you know, get to know each other as best we can, because that's a, you know, that's an important relationship for not only the offense, but our team.
And so how many plays is he giving you? Or is he going to give you multiple ones? Is he going to give you one, and then it's your job at the line to figure out what happens there? I mean, what is the protocol that you're expecting
It's a little bit of everything. You know, sometimes we got one, we got two, we got open-ended. You know, just about like everybody else in the NFL, there's a bunch of different options. But, you know, it's definitely a complex offense, one that, you know, has been, you know, executing and been atop the NFL for a long time around here. So just got a lot of a lot of work to do to make sure we keep it there and get better.
That was Matthew Stafford during training camp. What was it? Or did we get him? I don't know what it was. It was training camp.
Yeah, it was.
They all flow together. The days just flow together.
The season never ends. For a while too.
Especially since I don't know what day it is anymore. This last week, the kickoff week.
Yeah, yeah,
it's Monday. It's
you worked.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. It's a football Monday here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and so much more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in just a moment here and then play a little overreaction Monday. I haven't really given you my two cents on the Packers yet, and I will top of hour three. So place that aside because it was a dreadful loss. My gosh, losing by 35 points. Rodgers is back, everything like that. And they're just laid an egg. We'll discuss it.
It's not good.
Hour number three. Not the worst loss of the weekend. And it's not Jacksonville either, losing to Houston when everybody thought Houston had an opportunity to be the first 0-17 team in the history of the NFL. They're not one of them. They're not one of them. There are 16 teams that could be the first 0-17 team in the history of the NFL. And guess what? Everybody underneath the Texans have an opportunity to do that if they lose the next 16, which I doubt. Well, Jacksonville has a very talented young quarterback that should win some football games this year. That was a pretty brutal loss, obviously, for Jacksonville and Urban and Trevor. I mean, honestly, got to be their worst football days of their entire life. I mean, there were some other difficult losses, I'm sure. None worse, though, than the Atlanta Falcons. Because Jacksonville's like, we got the young quarterback. Green Bay's like, well, we got the MVP quarterback. Mm-hmm. We got Davante Adams. Atlanta's like, well, what do we have? Just one game.
I
get it.
Break pumping.
But the number of times that I saw Matt Ryan get sacked and then cut away to Arthur Smith, there was one time where he just was shaking his head.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what the play call was. I don't know if there was an audible from the play call. I don't know anything. That's the thing when you're a fan. And Arthur Smith could have been shaking his head because the protection should have been different and alignment screwed up. Or he's shaking his head because there was an out, there was a hot route and the receiver didn't know it. Right? Like you, but when you're sitting here at home, he's probably sitting there shaking his head and you're sitting there thinking, man, I didn't want Kyle Pitts. You know what I mean? Like that's what you're sitting there as a fan thinking, is that why Arthur Smith's shaking his head watching Matt Ryan get sacked?
Yeah.
With an offense that did nothing, and Kyle Pitts wasn't even out there half the time. Such a difference maker. Kid's going to get a jacket. He's like, he had a bust in Canton on draft night.
Sure did.
And then, what do you have, 31 yards, something like that? 30-something?
Not a lot.
And then in comes Nick Sirianni, another first-time head coach. In comes Sirianni. In comes the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. It comes Jalen Hurts. And wasn't it in that building that Tua took the reins? Is it in that building?
Yeah, that halftime.
We told Jalen, sit. Tua, you're in. Jalen strolls into that building and looks like the two-way threat that any other two-way threat you don't want to see in the NFL looks like.
Hurts looked awesome.
He's tough to put on the turf, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's keeping his head up. He's got his head screwed on straight. And then he comes to the sideline, and Jalen Hurts has this sort of cool, calm demeanor. Like, I got this. This is his body language. His body language shows, I got this. But Atlanta, what do they have? They just got steamrolled by the Philadelphia Eagles, another team with just as many question marks as they have. And you're sitting here and thinking, is Matty Ice done? Is he toast? Is he officially done? Should they have gone in a different direction?
Rich, has Matty Ice melted?
No, I mean, just one game.
Yep.
But no Julio.
Calvin Ridley, good.
I mean, hey, higher register. The future for Atlanta, and if Atlanta struggles, it's that sliding door moment. They had a chance at Justin Fields or Mac Jones and chose Kyle Pitts. That's the conversation that Atlanta's going to have every single time they struggle and lose like they did yesterday. And struggle and lose is a very kind way to term what happened to Atlanta yesterday.
Very delicate.
That's the worst loss of the weekend to me. Because it's rife with, did we do the right thing or not? And Arthur Smith could have been on board with Kyle Pitts. He could have been overruled. These are things that are in, and he will never say it. He'll never say it in a million years. He won't even hint in that direction.
Seal in a FedEx envelope.
But they've got a lot of work to do, Atlanta, after that beatdown. And their week two contest is at Tampa.
Oopsies.
That next step is a Lulu. But this is also one of those games where Matt Ryan would just show up and start balling out.
Oh, yeah.
And he is Matty Ice slinging it all over the place. But the match rule was put on turf a lot yesterday and looked like there were no answers. And, I drafted Kyle Pitts in fantasy, so I was staring at it going, where is he? Where's eight? Why isn't eight out there every snap? What are we waiting for? We're not in practice. We're not in film room. We don't know. But that's the way I went. Al in Atlanta has been first in, waiting for a long time. How you been, Al?
Morning, Rich.
Did I sum it up? You tell me.
Yeah, you got it pretty good. Because I was sitting in the doctor's office on Friday listening on the app, and I was all mad that I couldn't call in and try to talk my team up because only Brockman had us coming in second. Now, I'm not a crazy person. I know the Buccaneers are the team to beat in our division, but not a single one of you guys other than Brockman could have faith like I had faith. And then Sunday happened. And now I'm wondering, Brockman, why are you getting my hopes up like that, man?
Well, the person I live with got my hopes up, and I was just really feeling you guys.
Yeah, I was too, until that Arthur the Aardvark anemic offense.
It wasn't good.
Reared its ugly head.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
What did you call it?
Arthur the Aardvark anemic offense.
Okay. Thank you very much, Al. Appreciate that. Whoa. That's
alliteration.
Currently trying to knock Glenn Watchernuts out of the clubhouse.
Arthur the Aardvark anemic
offense. That's a very alliterative way of saying they sucked.
Glenn Watchernuts.
Can't get enough of that one.
Can't play that enough.
By the way, I just booked Chris Webber for tomorrow's show. Ooh. That's how multitasking I am.
Like literally
Hall of Famer.
Like just now?
My phone, during the commercial break, we were going back and forth because I was saying, hey, congratulations on being in the hall.
It was awesome.
Felt my phone buzz when he dropped the word Arthur the Aardvark, and I just looked at it, and he's like, we're good. I can multitask.
Amazing.
I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. You ready for Overreaction Monday?
Are you ready for Overreaction
I've
Monday?
Been waiting.
I mean, that's the question.
I literally have been waiting, I think, 26 Mondays for this very Monday, Chris. It's been 26 Mondays, I think. It's been more longer than that, right? Didn't we determine it's the longest offseason?
It's been
major professional sports?
Yes,
okay, here you go. Let's roll, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, let's go.
All right, so we were just talking about it, so let's just get right into it. The Falcons made a mistake not taking a quarterback in the first round.
All right, it's too early. It looked terrible. Mac Jones could have looked just as bad. Justin Fields could have looked just as bad. I hear you, brother. And it was terrible. I cannot.
You heard Al at the doctor's office, hating life.
I cannot say after the first week that they made a mistake leaving Mac Jones and Justin Fields on the board. I just can't say. I will not say it. I cannot say it. It is an overreaction. But I totally understand the question and the spirit in which it's intended. I will not sit here and say Matt Ryan's toast. What a terrible decision that was. And it's just not going to work. And they've got a chance at Spencer Rattler. And if they do, it'll be a tough, long season, and Arthur Smith will have to tell Arthur Blank, just hold your powder, man.
Yeah, hold.
I know. But, and believe in, the Arthurs have to stick together in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Very alliterative with aardvarks.
Aardvark and offenses. Okay.
But I'll just move on to the next one. What do you
got? All right, with all due respect to Bills Mafia and the guy in the back, Look, last season was the anomaly for Josh Allen and the Bills. Sunday is who the Bills really are.
Or, in calling it an overreaction, perhaps the Steelers are showing what they're made of.
That's not what this is about.
This is about
the Bills.
Last season was not an anomaly for Josh Allen and the Bills. That's an overreaction, and I think the Steelers are going to make a lot of people look really out of sync. I will think that the Steelers, I'm looking at the glass half full for the Steelers rather than the other way around, Chris. What else you got over there?
It's Mike in the back. I called him the guy. His name's Mike. Look, Rich, you thought the Falcons had the worst loss. I kind of think Green Bay had the worst loss, and it's because Aaron Rodgers is more washed than the reigning MVP.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
The real washed king is Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, stop, man. You want to talk about unwashed? Let's talk about his hair more than anything else. I don't know what's going on there, man. I don't know. Maybe I
lack of shampoo?
I don't know what's happening.
No. You know what's happening is Shailene likes it, so everybody else can go pound sand. That's why I'm wearing my beard. My very few people get overruled in my house, less than my daughter. Okay,
she's overruled because Susie likes it.
Correct. Right. She wants me to shave it.
No.
Come on, Aaron Rodgers, not washed. That's ridiculous. It's just something where it was so terrible.
It was so terrible.
And, you know what it should be? Apparently, Hoskins, I don't know if you were able to pull the tweet, flushed more than washed.
Yeah.
That's the phrase that Devontae Adams used on his Twitter feed. He said, flush it and respond. That's it. By the way, that's a great fantasy team name. Write it down.
Yeah.
That might be my new fantasy team name.
Flush it.
Flush it and respond.
My pen went walking.
By the way, that's just a great way of phrasing anything.
Maybe that's the name of Rogers' emo band he's in now with
Flush
that
it
look
and
that
ladies
he's got
and gentlemen,
going on
front
right
man
now.
Of Flush It and Respond.
What do you think of the conspiracy theory that's going around that Rodgers is tearing it down from the inside, that he's like a mole and he's going to play bad all year so the Packers stink just to prove his point?
That's positively insane. His boy Bakhtiari will come back soon. Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to talk about it a little later in the show. And if you're seeing this on YouTube later, seek that video out too. What else you got over there, Chris? Okay.
Cardinals, I thought one of the most impressive wins from yesterday. Kyler Murray, guys, top three MVP.
You betcha.
Year. Top three MVP.
You betcha.
Kyler Murray.
Well, it's an overreaction, but I'm going to buy it. I'm gonna jump in on it. First half of last season, that's what he looked like. And then the second half of last season, he didn't. He's got to finish strong. Finish strong. Longest season ever, as the NFL's calling it. Biggest season ever. But five scores, four in the air, one on the ground.
Ooh, baby.
The Arizona Cardinals showed up yesterday as a major, major problem in the NFL. He was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
He is the exact look and feel of an elite 21st century two-way threat quarterback. Big time. That was impressive.
DeAndre Hopkins' first touchdown, the toe tap in the back, TJ, I know
Dude.
You saw that.
Woo. And next up, it's going to be an interesting contrast in styles. K1 versus Kirk Cousins in the desert, in the plexiglass dome in the desert.
They're going to score 40 more on Minnesota.
Hey, man. What else you got over there, Chris?
All right, Browns Chiefs. That was an awesome game. You know what? It felt like the AFC Championship game preview.
Yeah, it did,
yesterday.
Man. It did. It did. It did. Sure did. And Odell didn't even play. Yep. Odell didn't even play. And Browns just got to learn how to finish, man. Yep. It's that simple. And that's part of a process of growing as a team and as a coach, growing as a coach and a team together. And they have. Everybody's going to have problems stopping Mahomes. It's just that simple, man. Belichick seems to stop him every now and then.
It helps.
And the Bucs stopped him cold last year in the Super Bowl. Yeah, there were circumstances. There's always circumstances. Mahomes is not, he's not infallible. He's fallible. But
that was a fun game yesterday, though.
Oh, man. Yeah. Who's next for the Cleveland Browns? I should have this written out so I'll know from now on.
Oh,
I've got it written right down in front of me here. They are home for the Houston Texans. Okay.
Yeah, The 1-0.
I thought it was a great game. That was a fun game, man.
Yeah.
Fun game.
Fun game. All right, a couple more here, guys. Let's go to New England. Tua silenced critics by winning in Foxborough.
He hasn't. That's an overreaction. Dude, this guy. This guy went up there yesterday and came out with the W. The season opening drive was very impressive.
Yeah.
And going against this Belichick defense, which is going to put the bang thing on a lot of people going into that building and putting up enough points and the defense doing what it does. Tua came out with W, didn't make a ton of mistakes that cost his team like we saw in the last few weeks of last season. And it wasn't one of those games either where if crazy Big Brother Fitz was hanging on the sideline that they'd call him and say, go clean up on aisle Tua. Yeah. Wasn't one of those.
Closer.
He's never going to silence his critics. I think that's going to be around his career for some crazy-ass reason. Words I'm sure he doesn't use. But they're 1-0, man. Only team in the AFC East, 1-0. Only team in the AFC East, 1-0.
Yeah, who do they have?
Let me look that up. Next week, home against the Bills. Is that a big one? That's early window Fox.
Oh, Mike.
Ooh. Bills, nice. Dolphins. That is a huge week two contest.
It's going to be nice.
Okay.
All right, last one. Last one. This is for us, for Alan Dallas. Giants already on the clock for number one pick.
That's an overreaction, Chris.
They stunk.
On ice.
I don't know what the hell happened yesterday, man.
That was terrible.
Rich sent us a text yesterday saying it said G-men. Like,
they went up. They were up in the
game. I know. I'm like, why? Why are you sending me? G-men?
They stink. Like Rattler just like, hire a real estate agent. Let's get Upper East Side. Like, where's the hot neighborhood now?
Hey, Brock, when I got a bunch
Upper East Side for Rattler.
Brock, when I got a bunch of buddies that can take him to all the hot spots.
Yeah,
in New
hot
York,
spots. TJ got the club hookups.
Aton, hook him up. Gerald, hook him up.
Like Rattler, where do you want to live?
Yeah. You and I.
It's like Wall Street.
You and I need to stand firm on behalf of the greater metropolitan area against the Cowboy fan.
Well,
and the guy who lost two trophies to the Giants.
Exactly.
That's where this is coming
Nothing
from.
Nothing to say.
By the way, when we come that's a great, great overreaction.
Thank you. We're back.
When we come back, more of your phone calls. And then we turn our eye to college football.
The
star of the weekend.
Was me?
Was the man
was
whose
me.
Name got dropped on college game day by his buddy Ashton.
Oh, it was me. I was
who
just
picked
joking.
The winner? Ashton picked the winner.
It was
too.
You. It was you. Oh, and somebody, and a famous comedian. It's going to be great. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Put your hands together for the most recent Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you're going to be in the league yet or not. I guess we'll find that out.
Yeah, we will.
What did it mean for you to win the Heisman Trophy?
That was a dream come true. I mean, it's still really hasn't really set in. It's weird. I don't say my life changed, but, just everywhere I go, people notice me, stuff like that. So something I've always dreamed of, obviously. So, you know, I'm not surprised by any of the reactions and stuff like that, but it's definitely a blessing.
Okay. And where is that trophy right now?
I sleep next to it.
Yeah. It's on your nightstand?
Yeah.
So it's Good Morning Heisman every
type,
day?
Yeah, type.
Seriously, it's right there next to, like, there's a night table next to Kyler Murray's bed and the Heisman trophy's resting
right
there.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and you've had it in your arms, like you've been spooning with it?
No, there's no spooning.
There's no Heisman spooning? No. By the way, I would absolutely spoon with the Heisman if I won the Heisman. I have received the Heisman. It was asking for prom dates back in high school. I got the Heisman a lot.
Oh, gosh.
New fantasy name, Heisman Spooning?
Heisman Spooning is a great fantasy team name.
Now taking part in the Rich Eisen Show Throw Challenge, Kyler Murray, is this the first NFL Duke ball that you have thrown? That's an NFL. Oh my God, you won't even answer that.
Wow.
Go for it, Kyler. Go for it. That's one. That's one. Here we go. That's two. Kyler Murray. That's three. By the way. That's four. Those are all Duke NFL footballs. Just wanted everyone to know that.
First overall pick.
That's four. That's five.
Wow.
These are the footballs Kurt Warner complained about. That's six. That's seven. That's eight. Oh, my goodness. Here, let's get some. Here we go. Keep going.
I'm off.
You got one more?
Hold on, this is getting bad.
Here we go. No, yeah, it's getting bad. You got seven for first seven. Good enough. Seven out of ten.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray.
Good to see you, man. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. He won the Heisman and, it seems, the Rich Eisen throwing contest in the same year. That's a first. No one could ever take that away from you.
Oh, baby. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our entire archive from all our Super Bowls, from all our shows. We're going to celebrate our 7th anniversary coming up next month.
Wow.
So our archive is full and plentiful with fun stuff, to say the least. Get ready to race in the exciting new competition show Frogger, only on Peacock. The popular arcade game comes to life in a supersized epic course. Go big or go splat. In this ridiculously fun show, streaming now only on Peacock with our boy, Kyle Brandt, baby. He went down to Australia to shoot this. Go to PeacockTV.com to sign up right now. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Jason in Miami. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
What's up, Jake?
Nothing, man. You know, the last time I was on the show,
yes, sir?
I was literally holding... And I got a call for a job while I was on hold. You remember that? And I came back and I was like, yo, I got the job.
Yeah.
So I'm still on the job, so it's all good.
Hold on a second. I have to, you know, this is my job to ask the proper follow-up questions. What happened on hold this time? Did you hit the lottery or something like that? I mean, did you get an upgrade on hold this time around or what?
Oh, no, I was here. Was there a delay?
No. I'm just wondering if while you were on hold this time that you got something other than a job, or is this just a regular waiting on hold this
Brockman
time?
Did steal my thunder a little bit, but I'll get to that.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Overreaction Monday, you're going to love this one. I got the Houston Texans making the playoffs.
Oh!
Brother Jay.
All right, Jason, now we got to...
Brother Jay.
If you're a fan of this show, you've got to say that higher register. You can't really mean it.
Oh.
So go for it, Jason.
Well,
go for
know,
it. Say it higher register.
Overreaction Monday, I looked at the schedule, especially the way that Jacksonville played yesterday.
Yep.
Won't be surprised if Houston even makes the playoffs.
Yes. He did the setup, too. He didn't just go high register. He did the setup.
Well done.
You're a veteran, Jason.
Well done.
You're a vet.
Well done, Jay.
Well done.
Well done.
Yes.
Love the show, guys.
Thank
like
you.
I said, I haven't been able to listen since I started working, but it's football season. I can't have football season without my guys.
I appreciate
that.
I'm here every day, man. Listen to the show. I love the
Thank
show.
You.
And,
Call
See
back.
You guys on the
Call
next.
Back. You got it. Thank you. Just Jason.
Yeah, brother. Well be done. Good.
Texans make the playoffs. Put a pin in that
that
one.
Is super hot.
Man, what if he's right?
Oh. Is there a place where there's a Monday night football game tonight that actually has that sort of thing in a number with an opportunity to increase your ability to have spending power as a member of the economy?
What would something like that be, Chris?
Is there such a thing, Chris? Are you looking that up right now?
Yeah, hold on.
I'm assuming you have that somewhat at your disposal. Because right now, by the way, this is what they should do. This should be like, you know, November of 2020. Stop the count.
Stop the season. Let's start the playoffs.
The AFC South standing. Stop the count.
All right. So even though they won their first game, Texans 12-1 to win the division.
Ooh, that's a good bet.
I imagine they were probably 40-1 before yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Oh, man. Who sits around and says, you know what? Okay, here's what I'm going to do today. Let's calculate the odds of the Texans winning the AFC South now that they're the only ones who won and everyone else lost.
I mean, it's somebody's job.
Talk about overreaction Monday. I mean, somebody's actual job is just to come in and do they have a boss saying, where are those AFC South odds for the Texans? I demand those.
If you want to get really crazy.
If that's not in my inbox by end of day.
You want to get really crazy and say they're going to make the Super Bowl, win the AFC, that's 100-1. Same odds as the Jaguars and Jets.
How about them apples? What are the odds that a star of that 70s show is going to mention T.J. Jefferson's name on national television?
I'd say those were actually probably pretty good. They're probably good. Plus 250.
So, T.J.
Yes, sir.
And everyone can go to our Twitter account, at Rich Eisen Show. I wonder who posted that tweet. Of the screen grab.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't do it. Did you do it?
No, I didn't do it.
Did you? Well, you were already busy. TJ,
I was mixing.
That's how I saw it because I wasn't watching Ashton. And by the way, it's funny. On Friday, we're like, hey, is Ashton going to go to the game? It's so far, you should go. Did you know he was going to show up at Iowa State and do the picks? You did know that.
Yeah.
All right, you were sitting on that caper. Okay.
I didn't think it was relevant.
No, we were actually asking about the man's whereabouts. That was actually a conversation.
Well, that was for Sunday. You didn't mention Saturday.
And I'm sure there's a PJ that flies him to the heartland and back here in time for last night's kickoff, potentially. All right. Yeah. All right. We'll move on. But he mentioned you when he's picking the game Pitt versus Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
And he chose Pitt because you're a
Pitt fan.
Pitt fan.
Yeah.
And you tweeted out that this is the benefit of you having multiple teams.
Yeah.
If only Florida State was not playing Jacksonville State.
And lost, by the way.
I know that. And a heartbreaker. Wow, and a last second Hail Mary.
Yeah.
That was an all-time gaffe right there.
Oh, yeah. You think? They didn't have everybody back there. They were playing just like normal, regular defense. At any rate, so they did not pick that game. So it would have been great if there was a Florida State and a Penn State game to pick after Pitt. So he would have given him another shout out and then another shout out saying on college game day, my boy TJ, he's also a Florida State guy.
Yeah,
my boy TJ, he's also a Penn State guy. So all the rest of them on the set would have gone, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, how many teams does he actually have? Well, he used Two Jiggy, right, which has kind of been my nickname for a while.
I know that.
To which Desmond Howard goes, Two Jiggy.
I didn't catch that one. Oh, baby. So you get the first star of the weekend.
Oh, well, thank you.
Second star of the weekend goes to this man who showed up in Columbus, Ohio. Oh, yeah. So normally when I appear on someone else's show, well done with Sebastian Maniscalco, as I did
his
outstanding Discovery Plus show that I appeared in. Normally coming back on this show is the way to return the favor, right?
Home and home, as you call it.
But guess who was hanging out at The Ohio State University this week and showing up to practice wearing blue? Wearing blue.
Yeah.
And guess what happened to Ohio State this weekend? They lost.
That's a shame.
So I say to Sebastian Maniscalco. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing it. Nobody told him you don't wear blue to practice. I was told they make you change your shirt.
If you're wearing blue?
Yes. If you show up to Ohio State wearing blue, they make you change your shirt.
Wow.
Maybe that's just Michigan week. I don't know.
Michigan week.
That would make aggressive. Sense.
Oh, boy.
That brought you so much
congratulations,
joy,
Oregon. Oh. That was an incredible game. Oh, and somebody's about to get a little bit richer from it on tomorrow's show.
Ooh.
For Gorilla Glue.
Cash money.
Oh, boy. Star of the weekend, number one for college football, TJ Jefferson. Number two, Sebastian Maniscalco.
Mm.
And then he went to the game, I guess. He said he didn't wear blue to the game.
Yeah, he was posting all kinds of stuff.
He should keep going. He should keep going. Yeah, he should keep going to those games.
Guys, I just like to think that anytime a mention of me happens, which is a rarity, but
yes.
I mean, it does happen,
yes.
All that does is strengthen this brand. You see, because somebody might go, who's TJ Jefferson? They look it up. Oh, he works on the Rich Eisen show. So and that's a win for all of us, I'd like
no,
to think.
No, I have no problem. I'm for,
yeah, I think that's a win for all of us.
Have I,
no, that was in no way a win for me. That did, not, that did nothing for
me. How's that not a win for you? Your good friend gets a shout out.
You're on. My boy Brockman, you know? Like, okay, well.
Yes,
know.
We're expanding.
It
would have
been
brand.
Better yeah. if I had bet Iowa.
It's smart of you. You're right. Yes.
Then it would have been a very big win for Brockman.
Yeah, it would have been very
wouldn't that have been great? Like, okay, who wins? Florida State? Or fill in the blank. Well, my buddy Two Jiggy is Florida State, so I'm going to go with Florida State. Now, next up, Penn State against fill in the blank. Well, my buddy Two Jiggy's a Penn State guy. And then, honestly, wasn't he the guy who's also Pitt and Florida State?
Well, he's got a lot of favorite
teams. There's reasons behind all of it, as I
and then smash cut to like February when Reese Davis is sitting on center court somewhere with Jay Billis. And here comes guest picker Ashton Kutcher. Well, my buddy Two Jiggy, remember I told you about Pitt and Florida State and Penn State?
Well,
I'm taking Georgetown tonight because my Two Jiggy's like that. All right, next up, Duke versus fill in the blank. Well, remember the guy Two Jiggy I told you about? Pitt, Penn State, Florida State, and Georgetown. Well, he's a Duke guy, so I'm taking...
Then the NBA. Here's the deal. I can't help it that you guys don't love sports as much as I love sports.
Smash cuts, whoever's hosting NBA Countdown.
You guys are casuals.
Whoever that's
you guys
be.
Are casuals.
Hey.
That's what that is.
Ashton Kutcher's picking tonight's games. Ashton, what do you think? Well, L.A. Clippers versus Phone, but come on, my buddy.
He likes the Clippers.
Well, the reason why he likes Pitt and Penn State is he's from Altoona, so... He likes the Sixers, too. Same guy.
No, the hatred. There's a lot of hate.
Reese Davis sits there, and whoever's hosting.
Are you feeling this hate?
One team.
The jealousy.
They're like, at one team. Is there more than one, two, Jiggy?
No, there's only one of those, baby. Don't get it twisted, though. You feel that, America? It feels like hatred and jealousy.
Cliff Kingsbury in your calls, Alex.
Jealousy.